Live from the Polite Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS. Number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Yes, your life. Rocket can. Loaded guest list today coming up. An hour from now, we will talk to Jay Gruden at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The head football coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, we'll stop by, and to close out the show, we'll do a little first and goal. Six teams remain, and we will get that down to five today as we have to preview the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Rick Stroud. And as always, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
I have to start off the show today talking about Kevin Durant, who Kevin Durant really turned out to be a big loser of this NBA offseason. He wanted out of Brooklyn, had 4 years left on his contract, kicked and screamed, I don't like Brooklyn anymore, even though you've made every decision in Brooklyn. You okayed the trade to go get James Harden. You were the one that wanted to team up with Kyrie Irving. You were the one that wanted Kenny Atkinson out after praising the Nets culture, and you were responsible for bringing in Steve Nash. So it never made sense to me when in the last 3 years, I know he's only played a year and a half, why Kevin Durant wanted out in an organization that he has gotten his way and has been the one that's been orchestrating each and every one of these moves. It's almost as if he tried to burn the house down, and then instead of saying, okay, I'll try to build the house back up, I'm just going to run away and pretend like I wasn't even the one that burned the house down. And don't get me wrong, Kevin Durant's a great basketball player. Kevin Durant is a top 15, top 20 player of all time. He does things on the basketball court that I've never seen, and he makes shots from a range that I've never seen for a person that is his size. But it doesn't mean that Kevin Durant can't do anything wrong. And Kevin Durant has been extremely frustrating in the last few years because I just don't know what he wants. And today when you get the news that the Brooklyn Nets announced that we have agreed to move forward with our partnership, we are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn. When Sean Marks releases that statement, I know that Kevin Durant's still a member of the Brooklyn Nets, but it comes off as Kevin Durant loss. And we're in an era of player empowerment, and I think we get caught up in that player empowerment bubble, especially in the NBA. Like, the NFL is still run by the owners. Major League Baseball, still run by the owners. But when it comes to the sport of basketball, it seems like what the star players want, and not even all the stars, like guys that are above average players, whatever they want, they end up getting. And I'm actually glad the Brooklyn Nets told Kevin Durant to go screw. And I'm glad they didn't cave to the Kevin Durant pressure just because Kevin Durant wanted out and wanted a trade inexcusably. The Nets just didn't genuflect and bow at the altar of Kevin Durant and go, all hail KD, we'll trade you, and not get the adequate return back for Kevin Durant. We've been talking about this for the better part of almost 2 months. Hickey's been very consistent on this, so have I, that we believe that there was not going to be a lucrative enough package that the Nets would have got in return for Kevin Durant, and therefore KD would be on the Brooklyn Nets for the first game. Now we know, since they are agreeing to move forward, that he's going to be there for the first game. And I think it's safe to question and fair to question, what type of Kevin Durant are you going to get? And also, I think the part about this that gets lost in the shuffle is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving could tell you through his team that he never wanted out and he was going to move forward in Brooklyn for this year with or without Kevin Durant. If it was up to Kyrie, Kyrie would go back, run into LeBron James, and be a member of the Lakers. The Nets, though, didn't want to get that deal done, and I don't blame them. Because what was the benefit of bringing in Russell Westbrook? Because he would have had to have been involved in that trade for that to go down. So I actually respect what Sean Marks did here. And yes, it did behoove him to make sure that Kevin Durant and then even to some extent Kyrie Irving were on this roster for this upcoming season. It is, though, refreshing in the NBA now, though, to see a player finally not get their way. And you sign a contract. I know we could all say, oh, what's the real value of a contract? And the contract is meaningless. But the Nets basically told Kevin Durant, we'll only move you if we feel that the deal benefits us. And the moment Rudy Gobert got traded for all those picks, you knew the market was going to be set all out of sync and all out of whack. And you're even seeing it now with Donovan Mitchell, where I read a report that the Knicks offered 5 first-round picks for Donovan Mitchell, and that's not going to be enough. So if we're talking about Gobert, who I think went for 4 first-round picks, and then also Walker Kessler, who was also a first-round pick, so basically 5 first-round picks, you could ask what Donovan Mitchell's going to go for. I ask, what is Kevin Durant going to go for? And because that price tag was so high and the timing of it, everything lined up, even though KD didn't want to come back, for Durant to be back in Brooklyn. And I just wonder how committed Durant is going to be, because his legacy's on the line. We know he's a top 15 player. We know he's in that all-time great category. But you could still be remembered in a bizarre way and be an all-time great player. Without a doubt, whenever Kevin Durant retires, he's going to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. That's not even a debate. And he's a 2-time champion, and he's a 2-time finals MVP. There is that perception about Kevin Durant, though, like Charles Barkley has pointed out, that he is not a bus driver, he is a bus rider. And we saw in OKC, he got that team to an NBA Finals. He felt like he maxed out in OKC, choked to the Warriors, then joined the Golden State Warriors. And all Kevin Durant had to do when he was in Golden State, when he made a move that was viewed as a villain type of move, which he had every right in his power to go make, and Golden State built their organization the right way. You draft well, and then you add a big free agent star. That's what they did, but they were already an all-time great team to begin with. So a lot of people felt that was unnecessary, and a lot of people did not want to see another super team. Durant should have done the act that he plays on social media in real life when going to Golden State, when he basically tells everyone on social media that gives him any negative criticism in his mentions to go bleep off, and how dare you come at the god, the basketball god, that is Kevin Durant. If he was able to do that, and if he had the toughness to be able to do that, he would still be in Golden State. He would probably have another championship ring on his finger, maybe 2 more. And eventually, when you win so many titles, even if you didn't like the origins of how that came about and that came to fruition, you could eventually just say, kiss the rings and bow down to the rings. And I think that would have happened through time. Instead, though, Durant made the decision to go to Brooklyn. And Durant, it's crazy how much it changes in a year, because a year ago, when they were going up against Brooklyn and going up against Milwaukee and they lost the Nets in the second round, Durant played his ass off with James Harden being hurt and Kyrie Irving being hurt, and almost took them to the conference finals. And probably if they would have beat the Bucks, they may have won the whole damn thing, or at least bare minimum lost to the Suns in the NBA Finals, because they would have beat the Hawks. And Durant got so much praise. A year later, though, it was, can this all come together? And it all unfolded. Kyrie unreliable. James Harden no longer on the team. Now Ben Simmons in the mix. We'll see when he plays basketball again. So I do think this is a positive day for the Nets. It's a brutal look for Kevin Durant. I just wonder, though, what is KD going to now do with this opportunity? Because when I read this statement, Ryan, and this statement says from Sean Marks, we have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball, one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn. I read that statement as we're basically punting any decision on Kevin Durant for another year. This is almost as if a couple gets in a really ugly fight, and that fight was caught on video, gets broadcasted publicly, it goes viral, all that stuff. And then it looks like they have a really messy marriage. And then the husband says, yeah, me and my wife, we're going to counseling, we're going to couples therapy, and we're going to hope to salvage what is a very unhealthy, messy relationship. Can you go to counseling? And can you get the help that you need to salvage your relationship? Sure. But a lot of times, if you're going to counseling, and even though counseling tries to help you fix your issues, if you don't have two people that want to fix the issue's never going to get fixed. And I still don't believe that Kevin Durant wants to fix the problems that he's created in Brooklyn. And I just wonder, going into this year, how bought in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are actually going to be. Because Kevin Durant, whether he wants to admit it or not, wanted out. Kevin Durant had an issue with Sean Marks, who's done everything for him, and Steve Nash, the guy that he chose to be the head coach. A guy that would not have been a head coach with the Brooklyn Nets if it wasn't for Kevin Durant. And now all of a sudden, you have issues with Sean Marks and Steve Nash. And Kyrie Irving could tell you, until he's blue in the face, that he wanted to be in Brooklyn with or without KD this year. That's BS. Kyrie Irving wanted to be in LA with LeBron James, and the Nets didn't think that any return the Lakers would give him back was going to be enough for them, or was going to make them pull the trigger on that deal. So those two guys didn't get what they want. They're both going to be in Brooklyn. Now we have to wait and see where their buy-in level is. And is it going to be, oh, my back hurts, oh, my leg hurts, oh, we're going to have extra load management days, and are they going to be there but not actively try to do what the Nets said today, and that was build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn? For Kyrie, I don't know how the heck this is going to play out. I'm sick and tired of trying to figure out what Kyrie Irving we're going to get, which is a shame because when he wants to be, he's a great player. For KD, though, if you half-ass this and you don't find a way to eventually bring a championship to Brooklyn and you never win a championship again, even if you go to a new team, yes, you'll be remembered as an all-time great player. You've already cemented that legacy. That all-time great player, though, would come with the but there was always a lot of chaos, but there was always a lot of drama. And maybe in that but conversation, Charles Barkley's name would come up with the bus driver, bus rider comment that he did make on Inside the NBA. So for now, the Brooklyn Nets have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And they'll reevaluate and reassess, I would assume, at the end of the year. Maybe it's at the trade deadline. Who knows? It's tough, though, other than their pure talent. And unless if they're 100% bought in, for me to envision that this is going to work successfully. And a year ago, I would have had the complete antithesis take. I would say, look what they did with James Harden on one leg. Look what they did with Kyrie Irving getting hurt in game 4 and Durant playing his ass off. You bet your ass that they're going to win a championship. Now, though, a year later, Ryan, this is a totally different feel. So in one area, I don't think this is going to be a long-lasting relationship. But in another sense, I'm actually really happy that KD has egg on his face here because he has become so obnoxious. And I used to love watching Kevin Durant play basketball. But the ego and the way that he handles himself on Twitter and the approach just simply to this offseason, it made no sense. And he ultimately has won nothing in this offseason. And he looks like a big loser here, which is crazy to say, because he's an all-time great player, but he failed miserably this offseason with whatever he was trying to accomplish.
He did, and you hope the lesson is learned. Like, again, you know, when we talk about some of these guys, Kevin Durant is in his own world, and sometimes reality is not the world he lives in. And it's like, you should see the embarrassment of you trying to overtake the team, not once, but twice, doubling down, getting rejected, and now you realize Kevin Durant, right, we know, does not like conflict. So instead of sitting out training camp, instead of trying to force his hand, he said, oh, you know what? I'll be the nice guy here. I'll come back for, like you said, the statement sounded like it's going to be year to year. Continue our partnership. That's anything but confidence. He'll be there in 4 years when his contract is up. But this is a guy where Kevin Durant's lack of aggressiveness actually works for the Nets' benefit.
It would almost be as if I took my shoe off right now, and let's say there wasn't glass in front of us, and I was so mad at you that I threw a shoe at you and hit you right in the face. I don't know. Maybe it caused a cut on your face and you had to go to the hospital. And then the next day, Spike comes out with a statement, our boss, and goes, yeah, even though Zach was really mad at Ryan, they're working through their issues, and they're both committed to continuing doing the Zach Gelb show. There's just like some things you can't recover from. And that's one of them. Which that was like a weird analogy, but that's just what came to my mind. I don't intend to throw a shoe at you, hot take Kiki. But how does Kevin Durant look at Steve Nash and Sean Marks? How do those guys have any respect for him anymore? Because he cried and pouted this entire offseason and said, "Wah, it's Sean Marks. Wah, it's Steve Nash. It's not my fault." It makes no sense. All these guys did was basically give him the baby bottle that he's wanted and all the great food that comes with that.
I actually think it's not going to be as big of an issue as you think. Kevin Durant is very passive-aggressive.
And he'll just tune you out.
He hates conflict. I don't think he's going to go into this season like...
The burners are now getting times a thousand.
That is
today,
fair.
Today, this statement came out. He made 15 more burners, I heard.
Steve Nash may be trending on Twitter a lot more in season than maybe before with the extra burners KD will make. But in person, he's not calling him out. He's not going to say, like, listen to you, coach.
He doesn't even have respect for the guy. Him and Kyrie basically said when he was hired, maybe one day Jock Vaughn will coach the team. Maybe I'll coach the team. Maybe one day Kai will coach the team. And they don't even respect the guy to begin with. And Durant was the bozo that wanted this guy to be the head coach because Kenny Atkinson probably had some accountability and wanted some respect. And KD was like, psh, do you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant.
He had a backbone. Get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So I'm happy that the Nets told KD and Kyrie to go screw. And it's in their best interest to have those guys for this upcoming season. I just still think this is going to have an ugly ending. It's all right. Basically, you're going into hospice. You know the death is coming sooner rather than later. You just don't know exactly when this is all going to deteriorate. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. Yesterday, Lincoln Kennedy joined us, and he said there's no more excuses for Derek Carr. I'll give you five more quarterbacks who don't have any excuses in 2022.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That was former Raiders offensive lineman and current team analyst Lincoln Kennedy, who joined us yesterday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And he says there's no more excuses for Derek Carr when it comes to this offense being successful. Derek Carr had a very good year a season ago, battling through a lot of things that were out of his control. You bring in what I think is going to be a head coach that is more fit for 2022 than his last head coach. And that last head coach did win a Super Bowl many years ago as a head coach in this league when with Tampa Bay. And we know what he did in his previous stint with the Raiders, but I think Josh McDaniel with his offensive approach in 2022 is more conducive to a quarterback, to winning football, than John Gruden was as a head coach. And not only that, more importantly, you already had Waller, you already had Hunter Renfrow, who were an excellent 1-2 punch a season ago. Now you bring in, arguably, a guy that I think, and it's not a big hot take, is the best wide receiver in the sport, in Devontae Adams. So the Raiders, who made the playoffs last year, there's no reason, once again, why they shouldn't make the playoffs in 2022, even though that division did get tougher with Russell Wilson going to Denver, the moves that the Chargers have made, and now Tyreek Hill, he's out of that division, so that could help a team like the Raiders, even though Kansas City's still going to be a force to be reckoned with. But if you made the playoffs last year without Devontae Adams, you better make the playoffs again with Devontae Adams. And not only that, maybe you take it the next step. Now, Lincoln did say that he does not believe this team is a Super Bowl caliber team, but they should be able to go win a playoff game this year. That's not out of the realm of possibilities, because if you find a way to make the postseason coming out of that AFC West, you could beat anyone in the AFC this year. And when the game was on the line last year up against Cincinnati with the chance to go win the game, your quarterback didn't rise up to the occasion. Now, it does not negate and nullify all the positive things that Derek Carr has done. But do you get complacent and just go, okay, I'm fine with being in the good category, in the very good category, or do you want to eventually see that team and have that team take the next step? So I think Lincoln Kennedy's right. There's no excuses this year for Derek Carr. I'll give you five other quarterbacks in the NFL that there's no excuses for. And I think the world of this guy. It would not surprise me whatsoever this guy wins a Super Bowl this year and wins an MVP this year. That's Josh Allen. Josh Allen has had a lot of success in this league. The last 2 years, it's been a wonderful growth of Josh Allen. You got Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis is really coming into his own. I like Isaiah McKenzie. Dawson Knox is a good tight end. You brought in O.J. Howard if he could stay healthy. Devin Motor Singletary started to come on late last season. You still have Zach Moss on the roster. You drafted James Cook. You look at this team with the good offensive line, too. They're loaded everywhere. And defensively, and really for their team, they were missing a Super Bowl experience, and now you brought in a guy that has two rings on his hand in Von Miller and also a Super Bowl MVP attached to his name. There's no excuses this year for Buffalo. There's no excuses this year for Josh Allen. And I don't think anyone was killing him after last year. He was great. And his coach had a brain fart, and the defense couldn't stop Kansas City in 13 seconds. And then you lose that game in overtime. So no excuses this year for Josh Allen. Chargers, Justin Herbert. I think the world of him. I think the Chargers are going to win the AFC West this year. You bring back Mike Williams. You have Keenan Allen. You beefed up that offensive line a year ago with Rashawn Slater. Now you bring in Zion Johnson. Austin Eckler is a phenomenal back. I know J.C. Jackson is now dealing with an injury. Looks like he's going to miss 2 to 4 weeks. You brought in Khalil Mack. You just gave the deal to Derwin James. You have Joey Bosa. Brandon Staley now year number two. We'll see how much he learned from the second half of year number one. No excuses this year for Justin Herbert. For Josh Allen, it's no excuse to win a Super Bowl. For Justin Herbert, it's no excuses. You need to make the playoffs. Next quarterback, Kirk Cousins. You like that? You like that? You have a coach that doesn't hate you anymore. That's where it starts in Kevin O'Connell. I don't know what Kevin O'Connell's going to be, but he is going to put Kirk Cousins in a better spot to succeed. You have Justin Jefferson. You have Adam Thielen. We'll see if Irv Smith Jr. can stay healthy. Dalvin Cook is a really good running back, as you know, in this league. I like K.J. Osborne. Defensively, this defense was horrible a year ago. You can't get any worse, or you think you can't get any worse. And also, you add that in, you play in an abysmal NFC. Other than Tampa, Green Bay, and the Rams, there's not teams that you salivate over in the NFC. I like Philly. I think they'll win that division. I like the Cowboys to make the playoffs. Cardinals, we'll see how they're going to navigate these tough waters after being without DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games. The 49ers, Trey Lance, he's an unknown. Baker Mayfield's an unknown in Carolina. Heck, you even look at the Saints. They're an unknown. No more Drew Brees. I know he's away 2 years now, and now Sean Payton's no longer there. I look at that conference and go, the Minnesota Vikings should be a top seven team in the NFC just based off their offense. No excuses this year for Kirk Cousins, especially with the money that he gets paid. Next up, Tua Tagovailoa. What I like to see a team do to go help a young quarterback is go add a stud wide receiver. They've done that the last 2 years, and they got better this offseason. Jaylen Waddle had a solid rookie season. Then you bring in Tyreek Hill, a top five wide receiver, top seven wide receiver in the sport. You improve the offensive line, bring in an Armstead. You now bring in an offensive-minded coach that's going to support Tua Tagovailoa, and he's going to actually have a commitment to running the football. I look at Tua. There's no excuses this year. I don't want to hear, oh, but the AFC is tough. You got to go make the playoffs this year. And then finally, Aaron Rodgers. I do not want to hear any excuses. Oh, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams. Oh, Aaron Rodgers isn't happy with this receiving core. You're playing in a weak NFC. You're one of the three teams in the NFC that could go make the Super Bowl and go get to the Super Bowl coming out of the NFC, and you're getting paid $50 million a year. Back-to-back-to-back 13-win seasons, and you have not found a way to get back to a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers this year has to find a way to get back to the Super Bowl. And I don't want to hear any of this nonsense that he doesn't have Devontae Adams, because the Bucs offensive line's in shambles right now. We don't know what's going on with that elbow with Matthew Stafford. Teams deal with injuries. Teams deal with losing players in the offseason. If you're getting paid $50 million, I don't care if you line up Hickey, me, and Ack. You should be able to find a way to make garbage into gold. No offense, gentlemen, that I just referred to all three of us as garbage, but that's what we would be as NFL wide receivers. Hickey, did I leave anyone off this list? Those are the five quarterbacks that come to mind based off what Lincoln Kennedy said about Derek Carr, that there's no excuses for these quarterbacks this year. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins, Tua Tagovailoa, and Aaron Rodgers.
I have five others.
Wow. Okay, look at this. A diligent producer today. We're going back CBS Sports Radio circa 2015.
Goodness. How about Jalen Hurts? A.J. Brown? This is kind of a career year for him anyway.
Devontae Smith out of Alabama. Phenomenal offensive line, too. Got a good run game, good defense. Yeah, no excuses for Jalen Hurts. And they made the playoffs last year. You got to go make the playoffs again. I'm fine with that.
Take away your actual feelings for this guy.
Oh, stop it. If you're talking about that quarterback that you rooted for last year that now plays for the Commanders,
we're going to
have a problem.
No. Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, what? Mitch Trubisky? That guy won't even be starting 5 weeks from now.
Out there. So I'm just saying.
False hope. Fake news.
I am just saying.
That guy sucks.
If you are going to resurrect your career.
No.
This is the last chance, isn't it?
You could say things right now and make sense. I'm not listening.
Okay, we'll move forward.
Mitch Trubisky. Kenny Pickett's going to be, he should be starting. I think he will be starting week one because Mike Tomlin will have some cojones and do the right thing. But if Mike Tomlin makes a stupid decision, he's going to regret that. And by the absolute latest, then, you will see Kenny Pickett on the field up against the stinking Jets. Stop, Mitch Trubisky.
How about Kyler Murray?
Ooh, I like that one. Especially because you know what the excuse is going to be. Oh, well, he didn't have DeAndre Hopkins the first six games of the season. You get paid the money that you just tried to go fight for. Like I said with Rodgers, you better come through and win with less.
Two more QBs, both on new teams this year. How about Matt Ryan? Do you have any hope left for him for kind of showing you a little something-something?
I think they'll win the division, and I think he'll be fine. But I just don't have high hopes. Like, if Tennessee wins the division and they go 9-8 or 10-7 and miss the playoffs, I can't say I'm really all that. I'm going to be killing Matt Ryan. And, hey, Colts have a tremendous offensive line. Jonathan Taylor, one of the better running backs in football. You have a really good defense. I don't think if it doesn't work, a lot of blame is going to be directed at Matt Ryan. I think a lot of it, and Jim Irsay basically has been making this clear this offseason that there's going to be changes and everything. Just the way that he talks, if they fail once again after getting that guy in Matt Ryan, well, if you fail with quarterbacks in back-to-back years, I think that means your guy Frank Reich could be looking for a new job if they don't make the playoffs.
All right, and how about Russell Wilson?
That's a good one. That's one that I should have had on my list. Because Russ, whether you thought Russ was in the right and it was Carroll that was in the wrong, or Pete was in the right, and Russ was in the wrong, he upgraded his team this year. And he doesn't have better wide receivers, but the team in Denver is better now, and it is plausible for them to miss the playoffs this year. And I'm picking them to miss the playoffs this year. That division, though, is so tough, but if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, like I said, they were Super Bowl or bust yesterday. If they don't make the playoffs this year, and that's going to be a bad look for Russell Wilson because he's viewed as that savior. Oh, they're a quarterback away in Denver. So those are some quarterbacks that I don't want to hear any excuses for this year. And that was Hot Take Hickey's list as well. We'll take a break. When we come on back, I got to get back into this hot dog being used as a straw to drink a beer. I have one extra take on that after our initial reaction from yesterday. And also, who's going to be the legit contenders to prevent what I want to see as a national championship game this year between Alabama and Ohio State.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Jay Gruden going to join us coming up in about 17 minutes from now. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will chat a little Alabama and Ohio State in just a moment and why that is the dream matchup this year in college football. But Hot Take Hickey, we had a pretty big-time reaction yesterday and an intense reaction to this video of this guy at Yankee Stadium taking a hot dog, poking a hole through the hot dog, and then using the hot dog as a straw in his beer. I thought it was absolutely disgusting. So did you. And then when I was listening to the DA show this morning, and they were playing our audio from the show and our reaction to it, DA and Mraz brought up a great point, and it even makes it more disgusting than what I originally thought. Ryan, entertain me here for a second. and this is always a gamble on my end because you're awful when it comes to food. You go to a baseball game. You go get a hot dog. You're getting more than one hot dog throughout the game. If that's the only thing you're eating, right? Which I think is a bad job at managing a ballpark and getting the proper concession. You go to a baseball game, how many hot dogs do you think you could take down?
At least three.
You're never just ordering, though, just one.
Right, and they're never big enough to just have that be the meal itself.
D.A. and Mraz brought up this point. When you're watching that video, it's time from the start to the end. You see the cutting of the hot dog and then the drinking of the beer through the hot dog. That doesn't look like someone that, you know, whoever was filming, unless this was staged, and I don't think it was, that doesn't look like it was the first hot dog yesterday that that guy used to just sip a beer with. Because how would you know to get ready to film him unless if it was staged, and I don't think it was, poking the hole through the hot dog? What I think, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, or what D.A. Mraz said, and I actually agree with them, is that the guy probably did this in, let's say, the second inning. I don't know what inning this occurred, but let's just say it's the second inning. Then got hungry again because one hot dog isn't enough. Fourth inning comes around. I'll get another hot dog, get another beer. And the person behind him is probably so mortified after seeing it the first time, they go, I have to now broadcast this for the world to see.
Without a doubt, because also, too, you got to remember, or you got to think, there's no way you're just trying this for the first time at a ballpark. Like, I don't know if it's a backyard, at a barbecue, in his kitchen, just bored one day. You try that somewhere
else.
Unless
there was some performance-enhancing substances and it made him do things that he never has done before.
I mean, if you're talking about, like, smoking weed, like, look, I'm not a big weed smoker, but I will say I don't know how much weed it would take, probably something enough to kill you.
You take an edible.
To get to that point.
You take an edible.
Where you're drinking.
You get on this crave.
Beer out of a hot dog?
Oh, I see a beer, hot dog. The next thing you know, you're sitting there, maybe I should put this hot dog in the beer. Maybe the guy had the munchies and the munchies gone bad here.
Yeah, the munchies. I don't think then you're carving out the middle of the hot dog, the best part, just to get rid of it.
Now, the guy doesn't look messed up, but I guess even if you did have the munchies and you were smoking some marijuana or eating an edible there, you could still hide it. It may not be obvious to the eye. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Imagine if that guy, though, was high, and now today he finds us out on social media. Man, that one high idea led to me becoming a viral sensation.
Think he knows.
He's got it.
He's an older gentleman, so not discriminating, but maybe doesn't have social media.
My grandma just got a brand new cell phone, and she's all bought in on the technology. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's not like the guy was decrepit.
No, I'm just saying,
he's 90-something years old.
Like, that was my dad. He's not on social media.
Okay, but then your kids would tell you, or your neighbors would tell you, or your friends would tell you. This video had, I think, like 10 million views.
I want to live in a world where he doesn't know. Just to kind of, you know.
Why?
No, it would be very fast. Like, he's just, like,
because you think he was just in his happy place, minding his own business, and didn't want to become a viral
sensation.
And
he's walking around today like, I'm just a normal guy, and everyone else is just obsessing with this video. And you had Maggie Perloff do their own experiment on the radio an hour ago.
By the way.
And this guy just walking around like he's, you know, nothing happened, nothing wrong.
I love Maggie and Andrew. After seeing the reactions on their faces, though, they said to me right before I got in the air, are you going to try the hot dog and beer thing? And I go, absolutely not. Maggie looked like she was about to vomit on the air. So I'm not going to go try that. I thought I was locating where we could get a hot dog. You think in New York City it'd be easy to get a hot dog, but they got pretty much rid of any place that you could buy food in a 3-block radius from us. So I was looking that up initially, and then I just saw too many shows were doing it, so I said, we don't need to do that. And also, not to get on Maggie and Andrew, I get it, they have to do a show. You got to have a beer. You can't be, they use seltzer. I don't think it's the same thing. I think you got to do it with a beer. And by the way, Mraz, we called it yesterday. Mraz did not actually hate the guy using the hot dog as a straw to drink the beer. He goes, well, you drink beer and you eat a hot dog all the time, what's so wrong with what this guy did? Nah, it's nothing like, lock him up and throw away the key. But there is a part of it that go, yeah, he's a little bit of a sick dude if that's what you're doing. And who uses a straw anyway to drink a beer. I didn't notice that last night when I was describing it. Did he get the straw originally with the intention to drink the beer? Is that how he normally drinks beer, or was it to just poke the hole through the hot dog? And once again, it's not your first rodeo, and I don't think this was his first rodeo with this nasty experiment.
Yeah, that guy got the straw knowing exactly what he's going to do with it. Ew. And not use it for its intents.
That's disgusting. All righty, I want to see Alabama go up against Ohio State in the national championship game. A year ago, it was, all right, let's see DJ Uiagalelei go up against Bryce Young. Alabama was there. Clemson didn't even make the college football playoff, and DJ Uiagalelei had a really bad season for the Clemson Tigers. Going into this season, it's all about Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, the race to the number one pick, the race to go maybe for Bryce Young, winner of the Heisman Trophy. Maybe CJ Stroud adds a Heisman Trophy to his trophy mantle. Can Ryan Day get over the hump? Nick Saban, can he just continues to add to this never-ending legacy of just being an unbelievable coach and the greatest coach that college football has ever seen? You have Will Anderson is an absolute stud for Alabama. I love Jackson Smith and Jigba for Ohio State, the wide receiver, too. That, to me, would be the best national championship game. Who's going to ruin the party this year, Hot Take Hickey? Because the two teams that I think of right away, Georgia, I think, will be the college football playoff again. They lost so much on defense. I know they still have Kaylee Ringo. You bring back Stetson Bennett on the offensive side of the ball. After just winning a national championship and just slaying the dragon that is Alabama, can it happen again? Yes. Do I anticipate it? No. And the other school they're out there, and they're a school with a lot of question marks. No more Tony Elliott. No more Brent Venables. Will DJ Uiagalelei get through the entire season? Big year for Dabo Sweeney with all that he's done building up Clemson and making them a powerhouse. Those are the top four schools in the nation through the rankings and also through my analysis entering the season. And I don't think Clemson, I do believe they'll be in the college football playoff, but I don't think they're going to take down either Alabama or Ohio State. I don't want to say I'd be surprised because I guess nothing should surprise you in sports anymore. But I would put it at like a 75% confidence level that we see Alabama, Ohio State to end out the season of the national championship game.
You talk about the best matchup. How about this? USC, Oklahoma. Oh. Lincoln Riley getting USC back versus a school he left at midnight. Basically did what the Colts did, packed up the vans, moved out of there.
Now, Oklahoma could go win the Big 12 this year. Baylor is their main competition. You have Dylan Gabriel there at quarterback. I'm a fan of Brent Venables, but we'll see how he'll become as a head coach. I could see Oklahoma get into college football playoff, national championship game, no. And for USC, you bring in the wide receiver from Pitt. You have Caleb Williams. You got Lincoln Riley. Utah may be a better team than USC just in the Pac-12 with Cam Rising and Kyle Whittingham. If they get to the four remaining teams in the college football playoff, I guess it's not stunning USC, but in the national championship game, yeah, I can't go that far in your number one for Lincoln Riley because he was at Oklahoma for years and never got to, and was in a bunch of college football semifinals and never got to the national championship game with Heisman winning quarterbacks or Heisman finalists.
This is not a prediction. That was just more of like a dream matchup for me. I'd love to see, you know, a little rivalry, a little bitterness between Oklahoma USC fans.
Okay, so then give me the teams. If I put Georgia and Clemson on the table, the other teams that could really challenge Ohio State and also Alabama.
You mentioned, I think, Utah. Utah's legit. I think they're making the playoff this year. They're the best team in the Pac-12. Wow. They're better than USC. I think they're going undefeated. They will be one of the four teams. I can promise you
undefeated?
That. Yes.
Whenever
they're good.
Whenever the Pac-12, though, is buzzing, there's a team that's buzzing the Pac-12, as we've seen in recent years with Oregon and Washington. They always shoot themselves in the foot.
This is the year, which also means take Florida on the money line week one.
Hot take, Hickey. Do you put any stock in Notre Dame? I know the quarterback situation's questionable. I'm never usually a believer in Notre Dame until they find a way to get to a championship game because we've seen them in the college football playoff a few times and they've disappointed. But right out of the gate, you got Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Are you picking the Irish to beat Ohio State?
Haven't made a decision yet, but probably not since I just told you that I think Ohio State is going to the national championship game. Haven't given that game much thought yet. So I would lean Ohio State, but I'm kind of then look at the gambling line and all that other stuff. First game of the season, that's a tricky matchup.
And Notre Dame, unless you're 12-0, you're not getting in to the playoffs.
Look at Clemson last year. I know they're going up against Georgia, and Georgia turned out to be this unbelievably great team and this all-time great defensive team. You could have made the case Clemson's season ended in week one last year. So you never know which way this goes. Jay Gruden going to join us next. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.